Good afternoon.
Hi, Mr. Knapp. Sean, Rob, and Michael. Claudia is about to come in the room.
Hey, Sean.
How are you doing, Rob? You?
Good, good. Rob, you there?
I am, sir.
Well, welcome, welcome. So, happy Thanksgiving and kind of happy New Year. It's like the year feels like it's almost over.
It's gone by so fast. It's crazy. A couple weeks ago, our manager was in here telling Michael that I had to get some reports done, and I said, Bill, why are you wearing me out about this? It's not due till the end of the year. He said, well, you've got 10 of them to go. I said, yeah, but it's not due till the end of the year. He said, Bob, there's only 10 weeks left this year. I said, no, there's not. And I counted them out and said, oh, my God, there's only 10 weeks left.
No. It's insane.
Now, Sean said, yeah, now there's five.
And we still have 10.
No, we have 7.
Right. Still have 10 to go, right? Yeah, I know. I know. It's like you need to hire somebody to do your reports for you.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those things, Rob. It's just, you know, check the box. And it somehow affects our deferred comp, but it's just a box check exercise, so.
I know. Every firm has to do it, and it's just taking too much time. It's, you know, in my way of thinking, if you did Supernova across the board for your clients and you kept the proper records like we do, you should get an easy pass. Skip the forms. Seriously.
You get a bit of one, Rob, because I will tell you what does happen is the auditors were in here, two or three weeks? A couple weeks ago, and they came down and they asked for a couple of files and they pulled a couple of records, and the guys told us, they literally said, all right, let's go on to someone else. We're not going to find anything here.
It's wonderful. Think about it, right? Put them out of business.
Yeah. Yeah. If we're looking to find something, it's not going to show up here because these guys, clearly, they're talking to these people all the time and, you know, they're documenting everything and... It's really good.
All right, let's talk about the new year for us, because this is a new year, and I'd like to, you know, I'd like to earn your respect, and I'd like to accomplish something from this period. You obviously have enough confidence in me and our firm to hire us for another year. Give me your biggest challenges. What would you like to accomplish? And where can we be the most help to you?
Sean, Claudia, what do you guys think?
Should prepare for that question.
Rob, I'm going to give you a really over the river and through the woods rambling answer for me.
Yeah.
And it'll, I think, trigger some things in these guys' mind. Since we last talked, I got diagnosed with a coronary issue.
Okay.
And I think everything's going to be fine, and I'm going to work through all that, and that's all good. And there's actually been some really positive outcomes and things that have happened. If you had talked to me 2 months ago, I just told you that I just went through one of the shittiest summers of my life. I think I might have told you this in May. I lost my big Labrador Retriever, which rightly or wrongfully was probably my best friend in the whole world and had taught me a lot of things in life that nobody else had been able to teach me. Then my wife and I sold our house in Kiawah Island, South Carolina, and for years I hadn't paid attention on my balance sheet that I was sitting on a $500,000 loss. But when I had to pony up 300 G's to close the deal at the beginning of June, that kind of drove home to me that was a really stupid investment. Sean has corrected my thinking and said, your wife loved it. She spent her last days with her father down there. You're good at making money. Shut up, quit whining about it, and just go make some more. Then Caroline tore the house apart, and what was supposed to take X took X times 2. What was supposed to cost Y times 1.8. I couldn't get it done. I was mad. I was screaming at people. I was losing my temper. And then I went to see my doctor. He may have me go get this heart scan. I'm like, okay, I'll do this. I do this every 7 years. It shuts them up. They all leave me alone. We were all sitting in a meeting one day, 20 hours later, and Michael walked out and he said, hey, your Dr. Brian Krakauer is on the phone. And I looked at Sean and Claudia and said, that's not good. That son of a bitch never calls me.
Right.
And so then I go and I get involved in all this bullshit with this healthcare. And so I spent the next several weeks feeling bad for myself, being mad at the world, saying this is the worst thing ever. I've subsequently done a lot of soul searching and spent a lot of time by myself and spent a lot of time doing some things. And I'll just share this with you because I'm among friends. I can say this and everybody already knows that I have balancing issues. So one Saturday, I'm really just feeling terrible about myself. I'm mad at the world. I'm mad about my life. I'm mad about everything. So I open up one of my drawers because I want to find something, and I can't find it because I got so many damn watches in this drawer. I can't see what I'm looking for because I've got, you know, gold watches and every kind of watch in the world. I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, this is so stupid. I can't believe it. Oh, it must not be here. It must be at the guest house. So I go over to the guest house where I have to step over wine box after wine box. I can't find anything because there's wine everywhere. And I literally am, like, so depressed. I say to myself, I would trade all of this stuff. I'd give it all away today for 6 more months with Palmer. I am so fucking miserable. I can't see straight. So then I decide, you know what always cheers me up? I'm going to go for a drive. And I haven't driven one of my Porsches for a while. So I'm going to go drive that Porsche. I'll go drive. I'll listen to music. I'll clear my head and everything will be great. I go out to unlock the car. I haven't driven the car in so long, it won't even unlock. And I say to myself, oh, my God, I've surrounded myself with all this crap that was going to make me happy and that was the reason I did all this, and I give it all away, and I'm unhappy, and I'm this, that, and the other thing. So I sat down, and I said, I've got to really figure out what makes me tick and so on and so forth. So to abbreviate the story, I'll tell you what I came up with is that I said it sounds extraordinarily arrogant to say that I want to change the world. But having never been one to be shy and bashful and having probably a little too much arrogance still, I said, I really do want to, when I check out, have changed the world and do something different, you know, have made the place a better place. So I said, how do I do that? And so I decided I couldn't figure it out, so I first started with my wife, Caroline, and then the next thing I thought about is the team here at work. And then I started to think about our clients, and here's what I said to them ultimately. I said, at the end of the day, guys, here's what I want to do. I want to be the guy who helps people's dreams and their highest aspirations for their lives and for their family lives come true, come to pass. I want that to become my sole purpose in life. So I want to know what does it take to make each of my teammates happy, to make them fulfilled, to help them accomplish for their families what they want to accomplish, to, you know, feel like they support them fully, and to ultimately accomplish the highest aspirations that they have for them and their family. If I then do that same thing for my clients, that at the end of the day, by not focusing on myself and all the crap, I will have figured out how to change people's lives, how to make dreams come true, how to help people reach their highest aspirations. The multiple effect of that, of all the people whose lives I'm going to touch and then all the lives of all the people here that work with us together on our team are going to touch, will absolutely have a transformative impact on the world, and that's what I want to see happen. So that also means that I have to. The other thing that I realized in all this process is that, again, I won't bore you with all the details, but before, whenever I was going to get back in shape, I became obsessed with the results, with the outcome. How far did I ride? How much did I lose? All this other stuff. For the last 7 to 8 weeks, I've been exclusively absorbed and obsessed with the process. Not the outcome, but the process. And the gains that I've made in 7 weeks, I would say, Sean, before I either never made them or it would have taken me half a year.
Yeah.
I've done in 7 weeks, which before, Rob, if I ever did it, A, would have taken me half a year, and B, would be completely unsustainable because I never changed my thoughts, my values. You know, it's funny. Somebody said to me the other day, how have you done that? I said, well, when somebody looks at you and says, this is absolutely, positively going to kill you, all of a sudden you have a whole different set of motivations and notions around what's possible and what's not possible. So as I think about how do I go through these changes, the things you can help me do is to be much more process-oriented and to understand that if I do the right things, that the outcomes are just natural occurrences and they simply cannot be stopped. They will come even if I didn't want them to come.
Let me ask you a question in terms of the giving thing. Have you have a family foundation, right?
No. Caroline and I have just always done things on kind of an ad hoc basis, and that's one of the things that we've all talked about. You know, Michael's actually helped me think about and talk about is how do I become more mindful about that, more purposeful, and more focused. More deliberate.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, I mean, it's, the, you know, I did all the estate planning. Probably, you know, I did the crot and the grat and the all the rest of it. And the, you know, Cupert and the family foundation was the thing that has given me the most rewards in terms of feedback. I know the others are all future centered. And that's probably the reason. I mean, the family foundation is current. It's present. And you get your, you know, you get your family involved, whether it's, you know, your immediate family or it's, you know, who you can put anybody on the board you want. You pay them a little salary and they, you have a nice meeting and you, each one of the, mine, my people that are on my board bring ideas and focus. Ours is focused on education. It's focused on kids that wouldn't go to school unless, you know, otherwise. So it's needs-based. It's diverse, but it doesn't have to be. And it's just brought me a lot of pleasure. Educating kids and helping kids get through college, get through a trade school, you know, do something to make their life better is, I think, fits in beautifully with your focus on helping fulfill their dreams and reaching whatever it is that their aspirations are. So I highly recommend it as a tool to use, and I think it would be inspirational for your team and for your clients. Because once you own it, you know, Zig Ziglar used to say, you can't sell the pots and pans unless you own them. I think it's a great tool to then go out and sell to all your wealthy clients that are looking for just what you're looking for. Frankly, the answer to happiness in life is giving. I mean, that has been proven over and over and over again. You know, your sense is no different. The things we have are toys and fun, and you deserve them, and you should enjoy them. But the real joy in life comes from helping people that might not make it without your help. And that's really neat. I mean, you change the world. So, you know, just from one person who's a few years ahead of you in this journey, it's wonderful. And you do create a wonderful process with, in our case, with our family. You know, we have, you know, the kids contribute to it. They, in terms of their time and effort and they get involved, but it doesn't mean that, you know, you couldn't have other people that you really care about on your board and doing the same thing. So passionate people. You can also use community foundations for boards, you know, that you can give to a community foundation, get a bigger deduction. They kind of all do it for you, but I like the idea of being involved. So I just throw that out. But if that's, you know, I think that this is really good. My brother's going through the same thing with you that maybe, I don't know what you have, but he's got a coronary problem with some obstruction or something, and they're going to.
That's what it is. They one is like 70% blocked, the other's 50, and the one that's 70, they call it a widow maker, and I guess they call it that for a reason, so.
Yeah. Have you done a stent or anything? Or
no, the first thing they wanted to do was see how much they could stabilize the cholesterol levels and do some of those things. So I'm still thinking about where do I go get the second opinion and do those things. But kind of one of the things I realized is that unless I changed my lifestyle, anything I did was super temporary, or at least it was, you know, somewhat temporary. So first thing I'm trying to do is to eliminate the causing factor.
Yeah, you know, stress is one of the biggest contributors to coronary disease. And my neighbor across the street is a cardiologist. He used to love when I'd be coming home at all hours, and he'd say, you know, Rob, this is what I like to see in my patients, you know, people. So He was a riot. He still is. Anyway, the point is that, you know, read Larry Wilson's book, Play to Win, and Jim Lehrer's book on Stress to Success. I mean, those are great books on life and how do you frame life. It changed my life and the way I see things, especially Larry Wilson, his Playing to Win. You can play to win without being stressed out, you know, not majoring in the minors, and it's all minors. You know, don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff. I mean, it's true. My brother goes crazy over things regarding the house and construction and stupid things. You can't let yourself do that. I mean, you sound like twins. And he says, I don't know how you do it, Rob. I said, I just don't allow myself. There was a guy in the airport when I was in there that got so mad over losing a bag that he had a heart attack. Now, equate those two suckers for me. A lost bag, which is going to show up, versus a heart attack, which just knocks the hell out of you and maybe you probably survive, but, you know, changes your life forever.
Right,
so,
exactly, yeah. I'm going to have a heart attack over losing my dirty underwear.
Right. I mean, it's just, you know, so process helps you to eliminate stress. That's why everybody loves Supernova, because you don't have to think about it. You create a process, a ritual. So think about your life turning into a series of rituals that you don't have to think about. Everything is process. Everything is rituals. And then when something goes haywire, you only have to deal with that. It doesn't throw everything off. That, to me, is where people get screwed up. When life isn't set up rituals, then when they have a problem, they stop working out. Okay? Everything stops when they deal with the problem. I mean, they wouldn't stop brushing your teeth. You know, you wouldn't stop taking the shower, but you stop working out because you've got a problem. That, to me, is crazy, okay? So you've got to have your ritual in your life as built in as you have your, as you do, you know, brushing your teeth. So here, what's the key? What was the key to turning your system, your 12-4-2, into a process? Think about it. Was it you? Was it your discipline? No. The key was, can anybody answer that? What was the key to making Supernova work?
The willingness and the willingness to change.
Willingness to change, but think about it. Who is it completely dependent on?
On us,
the client.
It was
not all of
you. Willingness to do the work and to support each other in it.
It's not dependent on all of you, though, is it?
No.
There's one person. If one person doesn't do their job, the whole system breaks down. Who is that person?
Me.
No. People can pick up the folders and make the calls for you.
Okay.
Who is the single most important person in Supernova? Do you remember the inverted pyramid?
The client?
Nope.
Michael?
Sarah? The inverted pyramid.
You've stumped us, Rob. We're all looking at each other puzzled.
Claudia? The person in charge of Supernova, the person that makes the schedule, the person that makes the folders, that's the single biggest change.
Vice President of Implementation.
Implementation, right. Well, not implementation, brand management, okay? Implementation is implementing the financial plan.
Gotcha.
The person in charge of Supernova, is the single most important person in doing Supernova. When we had the CSA take over Supernova, that changed everything. They took over the schedule. They took over the folders. They got the FA out of it. And then it just happened, no matter what. Okay? The client was dependent on that person. The FA was dependent on that person. Everybody was dependent on that person. That person didn't show up and do their job. The whole system breaks down. So the point of this is, in your scheduling of your exercise, you need a CSA. You need a person, whether it's a riding partner, a personal trainer, but somebody that is in charge of your schedule, not you. Meaning you are dependent. When you make a bilateral contract with somebody, you don't let them down. And you make a contract with your client that you're going to call them at a certain time. That's all dependent on the CSA making those calls and making everything work. And that's what you need in all parts of your life. You shouldn't be in charge of anything. Everything should be delegated out. Everything from the contractors for the house, for everything. So that you don't have to do anything but show up and do your job, which is to talk to clients or open new relationships. That's all. Everything else should be done by somebody else. And in your workout life, you should have somebody that schedules your workouts, that takes care of, that gives you the proper diet, and everything should be done for you. The more you can have that, the more you will stick to the rituals.
Gotcha.
And that's why we did a study of our FAs. We brought 40 of them down to see Jim Lehrer down in Orlando. And the people that had hired personal trainers, we met twice, once in the center, in the middle, 6 months. And the people that had hired personal trainers made dramatic increases and improvements in their life, and the people that didn't made none. And so the answer is you hire a personal trainer or you get a buddy that's going to make you show up at a certain time. So I have a riding buddy here in Florida that shows up at 6:25, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And, it doesn't matter if it's raining. We got to be there. And so that's what you need. You need, on the other days, you need a personal trainer. And you schedule it completely in advance. And if you have to, you cancel, but you keep the schedule. The schedule is the ritual.
That's good. That's a good reminder. And you're right. Where we've done that, things work.
Right. Right. And so everything, so you can't be sucked into the details. You got to delegate to people and you got to trust them. That's the other thing. You can't worry that everything is going to go to hell because you don't have your magic fingers on it. You just have to believe in people. So, everybody gets to that point where they they have something that happens that gives them a wake-up call, and it's a wonderful thing. It's probably one of the greatest things that's going to have ever happened to you in the end. Hopefully, you learn from it and dramatically are able to do the things that will help you and get the right people in your life that will, from the cardiologist to the rest, that dietitians that can really make a difference. So.
Yeah, and I'm to the point now, it is becoming that. So I have turned that corner. I'm not, exactly where I need to be yet, but certainly on that path.
Well, and you need to have your team tell you, when you don't get on the path. I mean, you got to have people that like you, trust you, and care for you enough that will take you aside and say, look, it isn't getting on the path that's key. It's when you get off, you get back on as fast as possible. Because you're going to get off.
Yeah.
That's just a given. So the question is, what do you? It's just like when you run a portfolio. You know, you're gonna have either bad selections, or you're going to have a market that goes down. So what are you going to do when that happens? How fast are you going to get back on track?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny. I was reading a book the other day about a guy who was talking about innovations, and he said the best innovators fail quickly and they fail forward.
Right. And that's what we always say, you know, hire slowly, fire quickly. I mean, you know when you have a bad selection. And so the same thing, you know, be very definitive about what it is that you expect. And if somebody is failing you, whether that's a contractor or a cardiologist or whoever, be very nice and fire them and then move on. Because you can't. You're so dependent on those people, you can't have a bad person. So that's kind of our project upgrade, which we work on constantly to make sure that everybody in our team is doing the things they should be doing and are doing them as efficiently and effectively as they can. Project allocate or push down is to try and find ways of helping each person on the team to find more time. Okay. Find more time means not doing something that somebody else could do that isn't in the position of responsibility that you are. And that's why I like to have interns, because they can do tremendous amount of work, get what they want, which is experience, and you don't have to do the work that they're doing. And there's a lot of leverage in that. So there's a lot of interesting subjects, but I think coming up with a mission, you know, a purpose, mission, vision for where you want to be is a really good experience. And we can do that. We have time to do that if you'd like to go through that. I think you've articulated it, Rob.
Rob, how closely, so we could do that for the team,
yep.
And then each one of us could kind of have our own, which should have some, you know, I mean, I think of it, you know, like the way we always show these silly things, you know, if Wells Fargo was trying to sell that concept, one circle would say the team's vision, mission, purpose statement, whatever it is. Then it would say, you know, Rob or Sean or whoever, the individual purpose mission statement, those circles would overlap in an area, and then it would create kind of this common area that they would color. Is that kind of how we should think about this as a team and personally?
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. And one of the things that's really important is to understand where they dissect and where they intersect. So meaning, you know, there's going to be I did this exercise with a guy just for dramatic purposes, and we were asking, you know, for your top five values, and the guy put golf, G-O-L-F, as a value. I'm going, that's not exactly a value. But can you imagine being on a team with him when he put that as a value, and you didn't know it? You know, you didn't know about his way he thinks about life. So it's important to go through the exercise as much as it is important to come out with the results, because it's important to understand what your teammates value. Okay? And sometimes they don't articulate it in front of you, and they need to, because it's really important. So, yeah, I think it's a great exercise. I mean, it's not hard to do. It's just hard to take the time to make your brain work.
Right.
I mean, we could do it in an hour, but you know, most people don't. Their brain doesn't want to create that sort of thing, so it postpones it. You know, it's a great thing. We procrastinate that exercise, and it really is one that should be done almost every year, just to refresh and see if your values have changed. And don't kid yourself. Your values change. I mean,
oh,
certain
my
things.
My
yeah.
Why did you
look how you're. Right. I mean, think about that. So if you didn't, you know, we talk about financial planning, right, and updating the financial plan. Do we talk about updating the client's values? As their life changes and they have a grandchild and they, you know, things change and your perspective changes. And hopefully you've grown over the years.
You know, it's so funny you say that, Rob, because we had a client who, to drive this point home, we could never get him to talk about his trust and estate plan, because, you know, all the really critical things you talked about, started out by talking about, he would never talk about it. High-powered real estate developer, building hotels, office buildings, blah, 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 blah. He started to think about it a little bit because he was going to have another grandchild, so he started to think about it. One of his partners was suing him, so he started to think about litigation protection. So we were starting to creep. He went down to his house. He was at his house in the Keys when one of the hurricanes blew through, had to leave, went back and decided he was going to do some work himself, fell off a 20-foot ladder, broke parts of his neck, came within, you know, whatever a really small measurement is, of breaking something in his neck that would, like, cause him to suffocate immediately. Came back, and 2 weeks ago we had a meeting with him in one of these, you know, neck braces that keeps his head all punched up and, you know, literally, like, had to drink soup out of a teacup. And we were sitting around the table with him and some attorneys we were introducing him to and some planners and stuff. He said, yeah, let's get going. I talked to the attorney 5 days later. He said, your client engaged us. We're ready to roll. So stay tuned.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, it's Larry Wilson used to say our job as financial advisors is to help people grow up and make better decisions. I mean, think about it. I mean, people grow up at different ages.
Right.
And this guy took a 20-foot fall to make him grow up and realize he's mortal. And that's what I mean by grow up. It's to, you know, realize that you are mortal and that you have an obligation to the people that you love and care about to give them what, you know, the best of you while you're here, and to give them, leave your estate in a situation where it is going to fulfill your wishes. I mean, that's all it is, right? What do you want to have happen? Then leave it that way. Don't, you know, it's so crazy. People are so afraid. They're like, if they do it, they're going to die. I'd say the probabilities are much higher the other way. It's like
right.
Taking the rain, take an umbrella with you, you know? It's definitely not going to rain then. I don't know. It's a great subject, but... Yeah, I think you guys should each have your own purpose statement, mission statement, and then one as a team, a purpose statement and mission statement as a team. It's a wonderful, it's a great exercise. And like I said, it changed my life when I did it with Larry Wilson because I had never taken the time. I was too busy. But when I sat down and thought about it, it changed the way I thought about life. That sounds crazy, but my purpose was to release the human potential. Now, to release the human potential by choosing growth over fear, and by so doing, help others to do the same. So, I mean, I always believed that my job and what I enjoyed most was being a coach and helping people to grow. But what was the biggest obstacle that they always had to growing? Is fear. And how best, you know, it isn't what you say, but what you do. So my life has got to be an example of someone choosing growth over fear at every corner, at every obstacle. And so that became my purpose. Our mission was to boldly go where no person's gone before and joyfully share the map. Meaning go and explore. It incorporated all our values, which is boldly go, right? To move forward, to be aggressive, to challenge yourself, to explore, to be innovative, be creative, boldly go where no person's gone before, and joyfully share the map. Share the map with everybody that how you got there so that they can come after you and don't have to deal with the fear of going there first. So we were willing to take the risk and go and do the crazy stuff, but then we were compelled to share everything. And that was the result that resulted in Supernova. And that's why we love the name. It fits everything that we did with Space Age. You know, it all comes together. And I still love them. You know, I still love that. But it changed. I did not share as much as a manager and as a leader. But once I wrote that out and I really looked at it and our team all came together over it and we all committed to it, then I had no choice from then on. I had to share everything that I found. And it changed my life. It made me so much happier. If giving is the single key element of joy, then helping others and giving to them your knowledge, experience is one of the greatest gifts that you can give to yourself.
That's really useful and inspiring, Ralph. I appreciate you sharing that with us. Because it's interesting, I wrote down examples of a purpose statement and a mission statement. I put C. Larry Wilson. Well, now I don't have to. I've got yours right there. Those are great examples.
Well, you know, I'm an example that a person that's found true happiness and joy. You know what gives me joy? Doing this. Do you know how much I make from this? Nothing.
Not enough.
Never. I've never taken a salary. I've never taken one dime from this in 11 years. I do this for the fun of it. I know that sounds crazy. But it's kind of like coaching a soccer team, a high school soccer team or something.
Yeah.
You do it because it's fun. And you get good people that want to learn, and you get to share with them. And I keep my brain alive because I'm constantly having to update and think and create. And, you know, I just finishing up our third book on, you know, the Supernova Multiplier, which is going to be, I think, a lot of fun to read. And, you know, I want you guys to read it before it comes out.
I'd love to.
Yeah, and then I want you to, what I'd really like you to do is say, Rob, here's a really, you use this idea, and this is how it worked for us. And just write it right, you know.
Yeah.
Just write it right into the book, basically. And I'll add it. If it's good, I'll add it. And then you'll be, you know, it's fun. Then you'll be in the book, and you can go and hand it out to your friends and say, look, I'm in Rob's book.
Yeah, that's great. I will tell you, I want to share one thing with you. There's a gal, now that we've moved down to four, who was on the other side of some cubicles and things, and I didn't know what she did. I don't think any of us really had a complete understanding of what she did. We've done a couple things to try to integrate ourselves into the larger community down here that have been useful. But one of the things Michael did is he took a copy of your book, one of the autographed ones that we still had, gave it to her, and sat down and talked to her a little bit about how we, just about the relationship model that we have. Can you just share with Rob a little bit about how that went, Michael, and the impact you thought it had?
To give some more background on it, Rob put together a group of FAs and WAs and a few other advisors within the firm. To try to put together a roundtable to share ideas and integrate, you know, to create more of a cohesive one Wells Fargo. He made the comment during the meeting that, you know, we go out of our way to find these partners that are outside of the firm when there may be someone that we should be working with that's only two doors down. And this young lady was a last-minute addition to the roundtable. Based on a recommendation of someone that knows Rob and Sean very well. She went. She was incredibly impressed. I know she had a great conversation with Sean on the portfolio management that she does, the structuring that she can do, you know, basically building your own ETF for a client if you wanted to. But it's all done in-house, and it's done with someone that literally shares a wall with us. We really had no idea that's what she did, even listening in on her phone calls inadvertently just from being so close. You'd have no idea what this person did. And she came over afterwards, I think the next time she was in the office, and just told me how impressed she was with the initiative that Rob took to put this together and how great it was and how she was not feeling so great about the firm. And she was looking for someone to really rise above, and she was always looking for management to do that, and she thought how great it was that someone who has no real ties to management was taking this initiative, and that she would love to work with the team more. And I kind of just went into the core values of what we're looking to do and what we're looking to accomplish based around the Supernova model. And I had just had the idea that, you know, it would be great if she could read it for herself to kind of get an idea. And, you know, maybe it'll bring her closer to our team if there's value right in the relationship. And if anything, maybe we helped her with her own life or her own, you know, job just by sharing the model.
It's really, really nice, Michael. Congratulations. That's great. That's a great thing you're doing there. And Rob, congratulations. That's a wonderful thing that you do in terms of helping the office. And you'll get a big kick out of it. I mean, so schedule it. You know, go ahead and schedule it. If it's something that gives you joy, just like working out or doing anything else, go ahead and schedule it. Do 4 of them a year. That way everybody can look forward to it and grow from it and whatever, you know. It's a blessing. It's a wonderful thing. So, yeah, I mean, you can get all kinds of joy in life, you know, like you said, helping the team, making them feel better, getting for them what they want. And, you know, people like to earn it. They don't like a handout. So everybody wants to earn it, but they want a chance. They want an opportunity. They want to have direction. So giving everybody the opportunity is fabulous, and helping them grow. That's what leaders do. And it doesn't matter whether you have the title of manager, leader. It means the person that's actually doing the leading is the leader. You earn it.
Yeah,
so
Rob,
what is the – yeah,
Rob, this
go
is
ahead.
Sean coming, if, this is Sean coming back to your first question that you had. You know,
yeah.
What do we feel that we can get out of this, you know, over the course of the next year or so? And I think this discussion and having this discussion allowed me, now to answer that question. And, you know, Michael's comments that he just had in terms of the leadership role that Rob has taken in terms of setting up the roundtable. You know, another piece that we did is since we've moved down to the fourth floor – there were about 40 professionals that sat on this floor, and since then about 7 have already left, just given the issues that are surrounding Wells Fargo. So, you know, morale is also very low, and one of the giving pieces that Michael and Claudia set up was that we had the omelet guys. So we set up an omelet station that came in here, and one morning last week, you know, we had – you know, for an hour and a half, they had set up 8 stations, and everyone could come in here and get breakfast and just come and say hello, and it was a nice little piece that I think, you know, really made people feel, you know, good to be here. And coming back to, you know, what Rob did at the round table and something that I wrote down that you said in terms of being aggressive, creative, innovative, and sharing the map. So one of the pieces, you know, that we made sure that we emphasized at that first meeting was describing what it is that we're using in terms of our service model through 1242. And I think just having that, some, you know, that different piece, that different touch that, you know, we're not getting from leadership existing within management, but us showing that leadership role and the initiative that we're taking puts us in a position that we haven't been in for a long period of time. And that Rob is slowly changing the perception that we collectively as a team have within this organization. And I think we're going to start to see the fruits of that labor. So coming back to answer your question directly, I think the greatest use of time that we can have with you is just further holding us to a higher level of accountability and making sure that we continue to be grounded and just help us through this journey.
Well, that's great. Thank you. Terrific, Sean. One of the things, speaking of accountability, think about taking your message outside of the office too, right? Then what better way to do a roundtable than to do a mastermind group? A roundtable is basically a mastermind group, an ad hoc mastermind group. So think about the value of bringing your set of values to this group who are all struggling in their own little isolated worlds that get none of this, no coaching, no nothing. They're CPA working by themselves. They get nothing, right? And you bring this reservoir of information, help, coaching, leadership to them. And you do it now for 20 years. Think about what those relationships would be like after 20 years of mutual growth. What that would seem like. What would that be like? What kind of friendships would that create? And then, obviously, what kind of business could you do together? If you had a team out there that was as passionate about you as you are passionate about you. Talk about telling your story over and over and over by the things you do and the stories you tell, etc., and the relationships that you build. I'm convinced that this is one of the probably the most underutilized wonderful weapons, tools that is at our disposal that we don't take advantage of. Comments?
That's a great idea. And, you know, it fits in so perfectly with kind of, you know, one of my things that thinking about the practice that, you know, I'm probably like you, Rob, I don't know that I'll ever walk away. But, you know, someday, whether I want to walk away or not, I'm going to walk away. And as I think about a practice that has a legacy that's going to be here to serve future families and do all those other things, that fits exactly with what I think our mission needs to be and, frankly, how we're perfectly structured to do that today. I mean, you know, I'm putting Sean ahead a few months here, but, you know, I think about, you know, me in my 50s, Sean in his 40s, and Claudia in her 30s. And then I think about our Claudia's not going to leave her 30, she says, and think about how that lines up with our clients' families, and then think about the sustainability of that, and then think about the long-term kind of permanency of the kind of mastermind group you're talking about. There's so much in this market and in this world and in this business, and really, I guess, as I said, in this world, is transitory. The feeling that, like, there's something with a long-term focus whose purpose is to be a permanent value, that's pretty unusual.
Right. Right. And I just see it as just an untapped opportunity of people out there starving for all the things that a mastermind group can bring. And you know what? When I read about these mastermind groups, I've got some good stories in there. You know what comes out of it? Do you know what comes out of it more than anything else? Is the friendships. The friendships that these people make over time. It's amazing. And that they help them on their issues regarding their health, regarding their personal issues, because people over time start to, it's just like your 12-4-2s. I liken it to a flower that is gradually opening up. That's what your clients do. They gradually open up to you as the 12-4-2s go on, and you're asking those penetrating questions. The same thing happens in the mastermind group. And initially, everybody's pretty, you know, it's all about business and da-da-da, what can I get out of it, and da-da-da-da-da. But over time, it becomes a group of friends getting together on a regular basis and literally sharing their life with each other. And that's what comes out of it. Yeah, the business is like incidental. Literally, incidental. It's like, yeah. I asked one guy that does this an amazing job with this. I said, so what is your real purpose in the mastermind group? He said, Rob, it's to make each other better, to make each other smarter. And then the part that this one woman said to me, we have become best friends. over this. And they, when I went through an illness, those are the people that came through for me. Interesting, right? And why? Because you meet with them every month, okay? Every single month. And you share everything. Not initially, but gradually. So when you get the chapter on mastermind groups, think about it. The other thing is, don't worry about, you know how you did your round table? You can do a round table with a mastermind group. You don't have to make it permanent. Do a 90-day free trial of a mastermind group. Rather than making it perfect to start with, pick the people that you have that you think might work. Get them together, and let's just do a business round table. And that could be the beginning of your mastermind group. I think we're all so, you know, it becomes kind of scary that somehow we're going to be meeting monthly with people that we don't like or something. So people just don't do it. So instead, I had this gal in Chicago, and she said, oh, yeah, it's my third month doing the mastermind group. It's great. I said, I just told you about it 3 months ago. She said, yeah, I just told them it was a 90-day free look, you know. So I got them all my friends together, and we're doing it. She said, it's great fun. We're having a blast. I was going, hooray for you. So sometimes your youngest people have the best ideas. They're not stuck.
No fear of failure.
No fear of failure. No. She just did it, you know. Anyway, okay, we're out of time, but what are the three big takeaways from today's call?
Michael's the most important person in the room. We're all going to work on our purpose and mission statements individually, and then we'll do it collectively. And I've got to have a mastermind group planned for January by the end of this next month.
Good for you.
You've got to meet with an attorney to set the family foundation.
Yes, and family foundation, right. Sean, anything from you?
Yeah, I mean, I have a bunch of notes here, Rob. Certainly I wrote down the same in terms of the mission statement, the purpose statement for both the individual and the team. I did start writing down some names of potential folks who I would like to see in a mastermind group. But again, you know, just coming back, it's been, you know, a few months since we've had one of these calls. So just the very high level of accountability and, you know, thought that goes into these conversations is extremely helpful. So again, just having this to get back on a regular, on our calendars and on a regular schedule, to me is the biggest takeaway.
That's great. That's great. Michael, Claudia, anything else?
You know, I think it's just a good reminder for us to keep up with our process and the rituals and how, you know, really us doing that here helps to accomplish all these other things that we're talking about, to remove the stress from the day-to-day and just kind of let that be, like you said, a ritual that just happens, and, you know, focus on the bigger things and the things that really, you know, we all enjoy.
I'll just echo what Claudia said. For me, the biggest part of this was the process, which is something that we've been working on for quite a while, but just sticking to it and then trying to incorporate it through other areas of, you know, of what I have to do on a daily basis.
That's great, yes, because Supernova can apply to your investment process, to your service process, to your marketing process. Every part of your activities should be Supernova. It should be a ritual. It should be 80-20. It should be focused. So just take the things that you're doing with Supernova service model and apply them to the other areas, and you'll find it's very consistently beneficial. Really good, guys. And by the way, this is a great thing to do with your clients at the end of what you think is probably almost every call. But just ask them, you know, what's the big takeaway from today's call? Or what are the three big takeaways? Richard Wildman loves to ask in threes. So I know you've worked with him in the past. And I like that because it makes you, you know, it digs a little bit deeper. And oftentimes the third one is the most important one. So it's a great way to transition to an introduction, you know, somebody that would appreciate the values that we have and the process that we have. So it's an easy way to transition from this to an introduction. So just, you know, keep asking those questions. Even if you don't go to the introduction part, it's still a good thing to find out from your client. Plus, there's psychologically, it moves, when you study the brain, it moves it from the short-term memory to the long-term memory. And that's what you're really trying to do. And you want to find out what's important to the client, but you also want to find out what did the client actually hear today. So that's it's a great question. Wonderful. Thanks, guys. Look forward to our next
week. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks a million. Bye-bye.
Bye now.